Welcome to Divorcee Cafe. We're here with Divine Wisdom Media. I'm Asia.
And I'm Aleph.
And today we're talking about financial fitness after your divorce.
Yeah, you got to get your running shoes on today.
Running shoes, exactly. I get the laces tied. Don't want to be tripping along this trip, right?
No, definitely not. No tripping over money.
No, which is possible. Absolutely. When it comes to money, there's a lot of energy around money and a lot of attitudes around money. And when you're in a divorce and now you're complete with your divorce, papers are signed, you know, and you really get the idea of where you are as far as the status legally, it's kind of like you're able to take this great big exhale. And you're like, okay, that part is now complete. I am now divorced. I am a divorcee. I have this knowing, this title, this whatever you want to call it. And then
Something else
knocks on the door, right?
Then you go, what the blank just happened? And what the blank do I do now?
Exactly. And there's a lot of categories. I mean, the entire, you can segment divorce and your divorce experience. And so in this particular podcast, we're talking about the financial side of what knocks on the door after that those papers are signed.
And how to get ready and how to move through it. And later on in the show, we're going to have Emma Johnson from Wealthy Single Mama. She's going to beep in and she's going to join us for about a half an hour. And she's going to help give some tidbits on how to not be a broke single parent and how to get your finances in shape after divorce.
That's right. And that takes a little bit of knowing and exercise. I'd like to maybe compare it to, you know, exercising. If you're very new at, hey, I want to get into the gym and I want to actually approach, you know, some personal fitness, and you've never been in a gym before and you know what a treadmill looks like.
Kind of intimidating. Know it,
yeah, exactly. And you walk in and the entire place is full of equipment and you're looking at it going, well, I recognize this and I recognize that. You know, all of a sudden it feels really good when somebody shows up and says, hey, would you like me to show you around? And you just feel this relief, like, yes, now I know what I can apply to myself. And, you know, in the world of finances, you kind of need to have a little bit of help, you know, maybe a coach or maybe some influence, because there's a lot of stuff that you can do.
Well, especially
money.
If you're used to a two-income household.
Oh,
and now all of a sudden, now you have to budget, mm-hmm. and you need to handle your own financial income,
right.
and your own stability and dealing with kids and daycare and food and everything on your own with
Absolutely.
The house and mortgage or rent or whatnot.
Right.
And because someone had to get a new house.
Right. Right. Yeah. Things have shifted. And although, you know, in your divorce, you've planned for what certain things look like.
The actuality when it sets
exactly.
in. It's a whole
new ball game, isn't
kick
it?
In the butt.
It's a whole different pair of tennis shoes that you got to lace up and run around with. So the financial side of it is definitely, and, you know, as diverse as divorce is, as diverse as the financial situation. I mean, there are going to be financial situations where there is a lot of money involved, where perhaps you're getting some alimony or you had a settlement that came in, and so you need to know how to diversify that, how to use that that's in your best interest, or perhaps there is really nothing.
How to maximize your time while you're getting that money.
Exactly.
Because that money is not going to last forever. So utilizing the strengths that you have and employing a financial coach or a financial analyst, or even just going online on good financial tips on how to create a business at home or something you can do during the daytime while your kids are at
right.
school. You need help and you need tips, because no matter how savvy you are with money,
mm-hmm.
to create it in a way that works with your schedule is tricky.
It is.
You know, and it's easier to talk to someone who's already been there and done that,
mm-hmm.
than it is to kind of rework the wheel again.
Yeah, and you don't need to feel really stressed. And this is what I would like to actually just emphasize is, like, so now everything is different in a lot of ways. And, you know, well, you're perhaps working longer hours or working. I know that with me as being a stay-at-home mom after I got divorced, it was into the workforce I go. And so suddenly my work shifted, you know, not that I wasn't working as a stay-at-home mom. There, that we can have a discussion about what it's like to be a mom that's at home with
but
six kids or one
resume.
Child right now.
Exactly. How do you feel that resume?
How do I feel that? And I even have a degree. I mean, I've got a college degree, but my college degree was back in 1988, you know, and I just dated myself there. But what do you do when you show up and say, hey, I've got a bachelor's degree, and somebody says, great, that's really good. We can pay you $12 an hour versus $9 an hour. And you know, I mean, that was a little victory. That is exactly what happened. You know, I was really excited about the fact that I was able to make $12 an hour with my bachelor's degree.
I went to a lunch yesterday, and one of the directors from People Helping People were up there and talking about their different programs and how they help, you know, newly divorced single parents mm-hmm. kind of get back on their feet and get out of poverty. And one of the numbers was surprising. They said, you know, for a parent of three, mm-hmm. they need to make over $50,000 a year mm-hmm. to be out of poverty and be able to handle the bills on their own. And so many people can't wrap their head around, wow, that means I need to make $20 an hour. Like, right. I don't even know how to do that. And right. where are my skills to do that? And to know that there are programs out there with People Helping People where you can go mm-hmm. and get the support and the help and the resume revision.
Right.
And how do you craft a resume when you have empty spaces?
Right.
I know that when I had gone to Department of Workforce Services just to get some help on resume, they had said, oh, since, you know, you've been out of the workforce for a while, we're going to do kind of like a conceptual resume where it lists your strengths
yeah.
and what you're good at rather than a timeline. And I was like, I had no idea that
yes.
something like that, you know, was even possible because, you know, I'm from whatever, 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you have all of your dates and times and you kind of fudge it here and fudge it there as far
exactly.
as time and abilities and titles.
Yeah, you're wanting to look responsible. Look,
yeah.
this is what I did from this date to this date and I carried it this long. And, you know, I'm showing up as this responsible person. And then all of a sudden it's like, and I was a stay-at-home mom for 25 years or for 10 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's actually not looked upon in the highest favor.
Thing.
No, it's not. Because they're like, so you have been, you know, a bless you for being a wonderful person and being at home, but that doesn't bridge over or translate into the workforce in the way we're looking for. And I ran into that. I mean, I was very unaware that was a situation because my world revolved in a different area.
Right.
You know, and so to know that even something like Department of Workforce Services, I mean, that's a public service. That is there and available.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
They'll help you go through the interview too.
Oh, absolutely.
They'll help you get ready. I mean, I had to sit down and, you know, we did mock interviews of what's your strength? How do you see yourself in this position?
Right.
And, you know, it's humbling.
It is.
You
it
know,
is.
It's very humbling to go, where are you going today? I'm going to Department of Workforce Services to kind of get my act together because now I got to figure out my financial situation.
Well, the beautiful thing about that is when you start talking, I mean, you and I talk about people that are here to help, right? And so helping those of us that are in some phase of divorce. And so we'll use the words like coaching or services or whatever. And so if you actually would write down options or resources, and that is what this is a resource. And your resources can be really broad. And so, you know, looking at something that's public service, that, you know, something that a college offers, something that a personal coach offers.
Even the Women Business Center. So,
yeah,
you
oh,
know,
beautiful.
I'm going to go back to one of our first episodes where we talked about how someone takes about an average of 3 years
mm-hmm.
to make the decision
to
step into divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at starting your own business and you've already maybe talked to the Women's Business Center on how to set the groundwork of what that looks like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you've talked to someone about website design, about marketing, about what it's like to start that niche of the business you want to do. Then once you've crossed over and transitioned into divorce, now you can go, okay, I've had that foundation. Now how do I translate that into dollar bills now that I have to actually
Absolutely.
Be accountable for the plan that I set forth?
Absolutely.
And there's the Women's Business Center that have all of these free services that you can go down and you can actually do a report. You can run a report on your demographics mm-hmm. for your business to see where they are in the city, to see what other people are doing what you're doing.
Right.
So that you're not just going, oh, I'm the best in the world and I'm going to sell these fantastic little necklaces. And you go, oh, wow, there's six other people doing
the same thing.
So how can you shift to make yourself distinctive? All of these are free services. There's another service that's underused. It's called Score. And they're downtown in the Zions Bank. Mm-hmm. And they are retired people who still want to give back. And they have some sort of specialty either in marketing, business, whatever, but some sort of area that you can pick their brains and you can bring your stuff to them to have them help finalize your ideas. And they're going to challenge you mm-hmm. to level up and go, okay, well, what's the next step? And what's the next step? And how do you prepare for that?
You know, that's one of the reasons it's so important to actually get a new pair of running shoes, I guess, you know, just to get your shoes tied and get ready to really get to work and run on this. And, you know, that might be hard to hear after all of the work that's gone on in getting a divorce, in having all of the stuff that's going on, going through whatever period of time it took. And then, you know, we're not setting this up to say, hey, by the way, you think it's over, it's not, which is actually a true statement. But, it doesn't have to be arduous, you know. It can be something where it's like, yeah, let's show up. Here's my idea. These services are available, and there's free ones. There's also ones that you can be, you know, find as far as coaching goes. But what I was thinking and what I would really like to emphasize is, it is worth the time for you to actually set aside a block of time for yourself, whenever that works, and kind of map out in your mind what your goals are with this. Take the time to research.
They're free services.
They are free services.
And they're just downtown, and they're all downtown, and they're all within walking distance. So you can hit the Women's Business Center. You can hit the Score services.
Right.
And you can go in there with a plan and mark out who you're going to talk to, because you can email them all ahead of time and set appointments.
Certainly. And then you would really want to do that. I mean, take it seriously. Like, this is part of creating a new life and creating a business or a business attitude with, how am I going to reintroduce myself into my life now as a divorcee? How do I want to show up? And you know what? This is something that, you know, we're kind of talking about resources for women. It sounds like right now that for women and men, people that are stepping into the workforce that perhaps were not in the workforce before. But you know what? Even if you have a lot of steady income, even if you feel really secure with where you are, there's different things that you need to know now that you're on the other side of divorce with the way the finances are working that you do need to address, mm-hmm. you know? And so having those resources, even if you think you've got things kind of going, it still would be great to use a few of those free services to say, hey, you know what? Give me some information. Let's kind of run this through for, you know, and they're happy to do that. That's what the services are there for.
Well, I know as a stay-at-home mom, you know, trying to get my expletive together, you know, I don't have all of the financial savvy that I need. I know I have an idea and I know I can work it, but the nuts and bolts of actually getting it to create financial success, mm-hmm. stability, that's not my strength. You know, I can throw as much spaghetti at a wall, you know, hope something sticks. But when you're taking spaghetti and you're throwing it, trying to say, okay, well, maybe that idea will stick and that idea will stick and that idea will stick, you're spreading yourself too thin because you're not focused.
Right.
You know, and I'm so looking forward to having Emma Johnson come on the next segment because
I'm excited.
She can totally get you focused. And I've been stalking her for a while, I just have to say. You know, I
you've been
stuck.
Forwarding things and I've been reading, and it's like, oh, wow,
well, yeah,
this is awesome.
Totally, because, I mean, one, she has the financial savvy and she has a financial experience, but she also gets it.
Mm-hmm.
She totally gets it as being, you know, a mom of two and creating her own financial success. I mean, it's just amazing in 2 years just to watch her, mm-hmm. you know, from what she's been able to accomplish.
That's beautiful.
And to have it where she has ideas that you can implement.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody can spout off, but not a lot of people can actually give you tools to take home and implement right now.
Absolutely. Well, we're really lucky to actually have her as a guest, and I'm looking forward to that too. So what we're going to do is take a break right now to listen to our sponsors, and we'll be back right after this. Want a sunrise,
so I can find. Hi, this is Keith Brady, owner of North Star Mortgage and Home Inspectors. For over 16 years, our commitment is always 100% customer satisfaction, which is why we are the only broker left in Box Elder County. You will find our secure online loan application to be user-friendly and full of current market information. Apply online at northstarutah.com and ask about our free home inspection with purchase. At North Star Mortgage and Home Inspectors, our goal is to make your most important purchase as stress-free as possible. At the
ocean, long to be there. Welcome back to Divorce Cafe on Divine Wisdom Media. This is Alif.
And this is Asia.
And right now we are welcoming our guest from afar, Miss Emma Johnson from Wealthy Single Mama. Welcome to the party.
Emma, welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. It's wealthysinglemommy.com in case anyone's looking for me online. I'm not so hard to find.
Thank you so much for taking time out and doing that. I know all about you because I've been, you know, stalking and being friends with you on Facebook. But for people who don't know your story and who you are, can you give us a little background on where you've come and what you're doing now?
Sure. Well, my background is as a financial journalist, and I've been doing that I've been a journalist for 15 years, my whole career. A few years ago, I launched wealthysinglemommy.com, which is the site for professional single moms. And I help women navigate parenting, career and finances, and dating and sex. And as you know, because you follow me, I really love talking about the dating and sex part.
Yes, you do.
We need to have some of that in here, I'm sure,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she'll have to come back again and talk just about that.
That would certainly be a great podcast.
It would. Definitely in Mormonville.
Mormons have sex and libidos too.
Yes, yeah. They do. Yes, they do. They as in if, yes. So tell us a little bit more about what it is that you find just currently in the last week or the last month. What has been your focus that you'd like to really share with all of us at this moment?
My focus? Well, my focus is always the same, which is empowering women who find themselves as single moms. However you get there, whether it's by divorce or by choice, I have widowed women in my groups and follow me, women who find themselves unexpectedly pregnant. Everybody's welcome, but just really navigating this course of single motherhood and empowering them to live these awesome lives because, you know, I mean, I was raised by a professional single mom in the 70s and 80s, and that was really that big first wave of divorce and single parenthood. Yeah. And it was a shit show. I mean, it was in my life, but it wasn't a necessary step for those women, my mother and her peers, to pave that way for us. And here we are, the second generation, and we're still figuring it out. But as I always remind women, we are living in this unbelievable time of choice, opportunity, professional and economic opportunity for women. And we have no option except to thrive. We have all of these resources. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our children. And we owe it to women everywhere, I think, to embrace all this opportunity and just kick ass.
What's the biggest obstacle that you find that us single moms have when we're trying to get financially back on our feet?
It's always internal. I mean, there is untold wealth in the world. There's untold amounts of professional opportunity, finances, money. I mean, it's there for the taking if you believe that it's there for you to take. So I think the biggest challenge is women believing that, because there are just so few role models out there, women stepping forward and saying, I'm super successful and I'm a single mom. And, you know, her relationship to her parenthood or her relationship status is different for every woman. But aside from, I mean, it's very common now for women that are stepping into leadership roles, whether it's in government or in business or entrepreneurs or in corporate world, whatever, they step up and they're talking about their family lives. They're talking about the work-life balance. But I'm not seeing a lot of women stepping up and saying, yeah, I'm leading this global organization and I'm a mom, and I'm a single mom. It still has that status.
It does. So it there's a stigma.
It still has that stigma. It doesn't have status. And I'm not suggesting it should. I'm not a big fan of women bragging about their single motherhood. Like, it's not necessarily harder for women to be single mothers. I mean, lots of us that come out on the other side, we say, oh my gosh, it's actually so much easier to be a single mom than to be in even a decent marriage. Marriage is hard no matter what.
Marriage is
so
hard.
Yeah. So what I'm saying, your question is, what's their biggest challenge financially? Their biggest challenge is seeing that they can do it, because the world is telling you, no, you have to go on welfare. No, you're going to always struggle. You're always going to be living in a crappy apartment, and your kids aren't going to go to sports like their other peers. So that's the very, very essence of why women don't get ahead. Because, I mean, you follow me on Facebook, and you see how many – I mean, these women are just like – I'm going to start crying thinking about how many beautiful – successful, brilliant women. These women are like engineers at Google, so many physicians, a ton of attorneys are in there, entrepreneurs. And I see them having all this success, but there's often, not always, but often this internal thing that's holding them back, and they don't realize their full potential.
So when you're talking about all this wealth and this availability that's out there for taking it, would you define that a little bit? Mainly because it... Because of what you just said, because it is internal, and because the perception of perhaps some of the, well, a lot of women perhaps, you know, as they're looking at, wow, now I've got to go onto welfare, or wow, now I have to do this, you know, as they're having this self-talk, and you just said something I just think is absolutely inspirational. It's there, you know, and I think there is this... this disconnect on, well, what does that look like? What does that mean? I mean, do I need to sign up for a list? Do I play the lottery? Do I have to jump through hoops? Do I have to go back to school? What does it look like for, you know, and it's going to look different for everybody, I'm sure. But when you're saying that, you know, could you kind of maybe give an example or just kind of explain that comment a little bit better? Because it is so inspiring.
So, well, I'm going to have to create, don't you dare steal this, because I just came up with an awesome quote that I'm going to have to put on like a Pinterest sticker or something. And it's, there in every single industry, somebody rises to the top, and why shouldn't that be you? Like, does God hate you? Like you create your own luck. You create your own success in this world. And the only people that make it are the ones that embrace that. And I see a lot, I get really angry at a lot of my single mom followers, and I'm just like, maybe you're not for me, maybe you're not for my groups, you're not for my email list, I'm not speaking to you when I'm writing or doing my podcast, because I hear so many excuses. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I'll give you a really great example, I will answer your question in a second, great example, I wrote about this single mom who had this amazing success story, and she was married, and she was doing social media marketing for a casino in New Jersey, just as a staff job, and I think she was making like $38,000 a year. Mm-hmm. She thought that was good because everybody in her peer group was making similar money. Her husband made similar money. They had a kid, rough relationship. The marriage ended. She ended up having to move back in with her parents, and they were like these really strict Puerto Rican old school people. She was miserable, and she was just like, I'm sick of being broke. I'm sick of being in debt. I definitely got to get out of my mom and dad's house. I'm an adult woman.
Absolutely.
Started a coaching business. Bam. 2 years later, she's grossing $500,000.
Wow.
Half of $1 million, and 400 of that was profit. I mean, you and I know, like, people throwing numbers around, like, numbers don't mean anything. What's profit? Her profit was $400,000 in 2 years.
Wow.
And so I did a post, an article for Forbes, and she was on my podcast. And I said to her, I'm like, okay, the numbers are awesome, but lots of people make lots of money. Like, I know tons of people that are making gobs of money. What's remarkable to me about her story is that she, inside her, she said, you know, I thought $38,000 was like good money. How do you decide 1 year $38,000 is good money, and all of a sudden the next year you decide that you deserve $500,000? Like, what is the internal shift? And she just got over it, and she started taking responsibility for her life. And she's a great example of somebody. She says she saw the message she had growing up was always her dad, her old school traditional dad, always told her to find a guy that would take care of her. Mm-hmm. And then she did, and that didn't work out. Her husband didn't. The marriage didn't work out, so he wasn't taking care of her. So she moved back into her dad's house so he could take care of her. And it wasn't until she became an adult, she said, this is a great quote, she's like, I realized that I was no longer a little girl. I was an adult, and I was responsible for my life. And once she got that, bam, she got it. So that is a great example of what that looks like. And here's the thing. Had you told her, like, 2 years ago when she was slumming it at her corporate little job, that this is, that she has this great, her name's Jen Scalia. I love her. She's got a wonderful online community of female entrepreneurs who she helps grow their businesses. And she's sweet. She's actually quite introverted, and she'll tell you that herself. But she has just, like, defied her own expectations of her life. It wasn't like she was growing up and she's like, I'm going to be an online marketing expert and help female entrepreneurs build online businesses, because that job didn't exist when she was growing up. That job didn't even exist 3 years ago.
Exactly. So,
right? So to answer your question, how do you get there? Okay, here's my recipe. One, you have to scare yourself. I mean, I know
I think that's so important. I think you need to embrace fear.
I write such personal things that I'm like, okay, my kid's probably never going to talk to me again. No man was ever going to love me. Like, my it's true. Half my family back in the Midwest doesn't talk to me because of it. And it's so scary, but guess what? I have to do it because it's true and it empowers women and it's freeing for me. And it's just exactly what I need to be doing. So you have to scare yourself. Your network. Now, your network is not who is in your local chamber of commerce. Your network is not who's in your LinkedIn connections. Your network is those things plus. Your network is who you spend time with, mm-hmm. right?
Beautiful.
And that Absolutely. Might be people that you go to church with. It might be the moms at the bus stop. Are these people positive? Do they believe in you? Or do they tell you that you think you're too cute if you think you can earn more than $38,000 a year? Because you like, it's not just for money. It's like, if your friends are overweight, you're going to be overweight. If your friends smoke, you're going to smoke. And the reality, you guys know, if your friend gets divorced, you're more likely to get divorced too. P.S. Mm-hmm. But we don't really need to promote that.
But it is so something to be aware of.
And, you know what? And that's the beauty of the internet, is that, like, Jen Scalia, like, I tell her story all over the place because I'm so inspired by her. I did meet her briefly in person once because I live in Queens and she lives in New Jersey and we happen to be in an event, but it wouldn't have mattered. She's in my network now, inspiring me and pulling me up every single day because she's now in my network and it's a virtual relationship. And that is the thing. You ladies listening, you have access to anybody now. So don't spend your time with people that tell you you should get out of welfare, or that you know that you're going to be fine and it's okay if you rent that one bedroom apartment with you and your two kids and it's okay, because that's what they're doing and they don't want to be jealous. You need to be surrounding your people who are inspiring to you and supportive of you. And then the third thing is keep an open mind. Like, my experience, I went to journalism school. Like, all I could think about was writing for a newspaper. Like, to tell you that I would be, you can't control what your success is, and you can't even, in most people's cases, you can't imagine what it's going to be, for two reasons. One is that the world has changed so much so quickly, mainly because of technology and factors in the economy. So every single industry, I mean, I don't care if you're a teacher, definitely in medicine, certainly in media, every single industry is completely transformed. So you don't even know where the opportunities are until you are out there and being open to it. So be open and go where the universe is shoving you, because the universe is just going to kick your ass in the right direction.
Oh, it totally will.
That is the truth.
It totally will. And I mean, I totally understand where you're coming from, because, you know, as far as my history, you know, I came from a family that are very, like, in the box. You go to college, you do this, you have a certain trajectory, you know, and then you get a stable job that has benefits at this many hours and retirement and all this other stuff. It's like, okay, you know, and I have lots of conversations. My family is worried. They love, and they go, so when's it going to happen? You know, when are you going to be financially stable? I'm like, it's coming. And they're like, well, where's it going to come from? I don't know. And like, how's it going to come? I said, I don't know. I said, I am just working to where things are shifting and shoving and pushing. And, you know, and again, if 3 years ago someone had said I would be sitting down doing this sort of thing, I'd be like, are you crazy? And, you know, you just go where the universe is setting you. But releasing control of the outcome, I think, is such an important element, because you can't control what the end result is. And, you know, nor should you, because you're trying to control something that's within your immediate parameter of thinking, when the world is so much bigger than that now with the technology, that you can't even, you know, fathom what the possibilities are. So why limit yourself?
Well, and you don't know what you're going to need to thrive at or what's going to bring you joy. I mean, my personal point of reference when I was like 12 years ago or something, so I was maybe 5 years into my career, and I come to New York, and I landed a staff job at the Associated Press in New York at the headquarters, and that was like such a prestigious job, and I was like, you know, the envy of all my reporter friends in different parts of the country where I'd worked as a reporter, and I hated every freaking minute of that job. I mean, I was horrible at it. It was boring. It was soul sucking. It was low pay. Working with miserable human beings. There could not have been a worse fit for me. Like other people, maybe they loved it. Can't imagine that was the case, but whatever. That was like my ego told me that was awesome. That was sort of what I'd been working towards up until that point in my career. That was my goal. Mm-hmm. And then I got there and it sucked. So after that, I think that was a big pivot for me where I just was like, oh, I'm just going to follow my joy. The universe is always kind of taking care of me and bringing me these little sweet treats all the time. I'm going to go where the stuff is good. And here I am talking to you, lady. So how can I say
that? I love that.
And right now we're going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors. And then we will be back on Divine Wisdom Media, Divorce Cafe in just a minute.
Where nobody can care.
Did you know that blocked energy and negative thought patterns have the ability to adversely affect our health and well-being? At Transformational Therapies, we believe that by establishing balance through a combination of massage, energetic bodywork, transpersonal hypnotherapy, and coaching, a stronger connection to self and source is developed, creating positive transformation for the mind, body, and soul. For more information on our services and classes, log on to transformationaltherapies.org.
Welcome to Divorcee Cafe on Divine Wisdom Media. I am Asia.
And I am Aleph.
And we are here talking to Emma from
Wealthy Single
Wealthy
Mommy.
Wealthy Single Mommy. Is that correct? Wealthy Single Mommy.
Yeah, wealthysinglemommy.com.
Mommy.com. Great. You know, you were talking about following your joy, following your bliss. And I'm wondering, you know, I know that people hear about that. So sometimes they, you know, they feel like, wow, I've got 25 things that I absolutely love, you know. And it's okay to actually, as you were illustrating in your last example there about how you landed this awesome reporting job and it had all kinds of prestigious titling behind it and you absolutely hated it. And yet you'd gone to school and it was something that you did love, but things did shift and change. And I loved how you actually said, you know, you got very real with yourself, got very serious with yourself and just said, I'm going to go where things are good. I'm going to go where it's yummy. I'm going to follow what it is that my bliss is and I'm going to explore that. So was that a very long journey for you to actually...
I'm on that journey right now. Are you kidding? I mean, it's not like you learn stuff and then you like pack it up, go home. I'm still on it. And, you know, I was kind of joking, like I like talking about dating and sex.
Yes.
Well, that's been like a theme with me lately because, well, this phase of my life, I have dated a lot and I have really enjoyed, I've just enjoyed the whole process. I mean, there's been a lot of heartbreaks and frustrations, but I enjoyed dating in New York. I never was single in New York City and it's so many interesting men. It's so fascinating. And I just love the dating ritual and meeting the new people, but I enjoy the sex and I had a normal sex life before I was married. I think I met my husband, I think I was 25. So I had a couple of boyfriends and dated some. I think I was a perfectly normal, healthy, sexual young woman. But this time of my life, I just come into my sexuality and my body in such an amazing way. And I think it's a common experience for women in my situation being single mother. I think the motherhood and sexuality is this whole frontier that no one wants to talk about. And I feel like, okay, so on one hand, within myself and my own personal journey, I'm going where it feels good. But that means breaking through a whole lot of social taboos. like a whole lot. And I'm kind of the only one that's doing it in a very public way that I can see. Mm-hmm. Do you know if anybody else hooked me up? Because I'd love to talk, partner up with her. But it's like what feels good to me. And I'm not just talking physically what feels good, but what feels good emotionally, what feels good intellectually. And all of these things are sort of coming together in a way. And I had this really great experience over the last couple of years. I've had my astrological charts read a couple times. I'm very open to that. I'm not like a huge, I'm not hardcore devoted to that practice, but I'm very open to it. And I've had a couple of really great readings over the last several years by two different people. And both times, I'm a Scorpio, and apparently I'm super duper Scorpio. And FYI, Scorpio is the most female feminine sign. And I'm learning about this as I go. I'm not a huge student of this. But in both times I had my charts read, they have this like software where they look at my planets and my houses. I don't even know. And they both people independently, this was like years apart. They don't know each other. They're like, okay, you're October 23rd. You're super Scorpio and you love sex. You were born loving sex. Like you need to be sexually satisfied. You're driven by sensuality and being, feeling good in your body. And it goes beyond just having sex with men. It's more like what physically feels good in my body. Like when I went into the Associated Press, oh my God, like I don't even like to go to that part of the city where those offices are. Like tomorrow I actually have a video shoot over that way. And I'm like dreading getting off of that subway stop and going there because physically in my body, and that was like 11 years ago, I can feel that negativity for me personally. And so it's like very much guided by, that's how I, and not for everybody, but that's how I am living in the world, in my body, like how I interact with people's energy, how I interact with places' energy.
And so you been, have a like visceral said, experience.
I'm just having that realization now as I'm going on, and I'm never going to figure this out. I'll be figuring it out when I'm on my deathbed when I'm 98 years old.
I love this. Well, it just says it's fun. It's actually fun. I love the way you actually answer that question because, you know, again, after divorce and everything has been very, very legal and very, you need to sign this and this is a time frame and this is, you know, and that's just the aspect of what it is. It's almost as if, you know, you hear it once somebody say, all right, follow your bliss. And, you know, it is okay. I'm going to say right now, give yourself permission to step away from, abandon, whatever it is.
And feel alive
the
again.
The things that you, yeah, are not serving you. And be gutsy about it. You know, really be bold and step into that. And I'm saying that very seriously. But then you think, well, what is the leap and what is the time frame on figuring this out? And the fact that you're like, hey, I'm still figuring it out. Hey, I'm still on
but
this journey.
You keep jumping.
It's,
you know,
wonderful.
It's always a jump. Like, I know that, you know, when I was going through divorce and then entering the relationship with Alex and then all of these other different things, I feel like it's always that that end scene in Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade,
oh, yeah.
You know, where beautiful he has to scene. Cross that chasm in order to get the chalice to save his dad because his dad was shot and he has to put aside that that intellectual thinking that he can't make the leap and he has to, you know, put his hand over his heart and he has to trust and put that foot out there and jump. You know, every time I jump, it's not that it gets it. You know, you stop jumping.
No,
it gets a little bit easier because you know that once you take that, you put that hand on and go, okay, what do I need to do to make myself feel more alive? What do I need to do to, you know, trust more in myself and embrace life viscerally on all levels? Okay, close my eyes, hold my nose, and let's jump. Mm-hmm. You know, and people will get so scared. Well, you don't have a parachute, and you haven't had this plan. You don't have that. I go, I'll build my freaking parachute on the way down. You know, and you know what? It always happens. You always figure out more about yourself when you scare yourself and you take that leap, whether or not that's men or life. I think money. Women after divorce, I don't know about so much men after divorce. I don't know. But women almost, I hate using the word blossom because it feels so like flowery. But, you know, they bloom, yes, you know, because they're like, screw that. I've been in a dead marriage for all that. I'm tired of feeling dead. I need to do something that makes me feel alive again. And like, I want to embrace that spark of life again.
Well, you know what I'm hearing both of you say is just, you know, especially with the Scorpio and the astrological charts, which I'm glad you brought that in there because it's actually a really good tool to learn yourself a little bit more and what Aleph is over here saying about really feeling what's good. So getting in your body, getting in your soul, getting in whatever it is that that you resonate with, that you recognize the most. And that's the way that you can get to know yourself is like, what, and this is serious, what is it that I resonate with? And you know, check in. What is it that feels in alignment? What is it that feels good? And knowing that, you know, you're going to get on the subway and you've got to go down to the part of that city and you're just like, ugh, this does, you know, verbally, you know why you're going. And it's great. You've got the whole thing set up, but you also are very, very keenly aware of what's going on with you and that part of the city. And there's something very valuable about taking the meter on that, taking the compass of what is it that feels, you know, that helps you feel alive. And this is one of the reasons why. Maybe it's age, maybe it's time, it doesn't really matter. The point is, I agree with you. There's a lot of blossoming. There's blossoming that does happen, and it can and should happen, actually, at this phase of your life, mainly because you get to invest in yourself in a way that perhaps you haven't
before. Well,
you have
autonomy in your life again. And I think that so many people, when they're in a lifeless marriage, either not, you know, maybe being the breadwinner or not financially stable or whatever, they don't have autonomy over their money. They don't have autonomy over their life. They don't have autonomy on how to direct where they need to go. And now we're in this period in our 40s, you know, getting divorced and going, hey, you know what? I can make decisions now. But, you know, as we're making decisions, the closer we get to ourselves, the more we kind of back against that wall of people who like us when we were in the box. So for women who are starting to kind of step out onto their own and start to take those little baby steps back towards themselves, how did you deal with a lot of, I would say the backlash, you know, a lot of people, you know, as you're being more authentic with yourself, how do you maintain your balance when people who are used to you a certain way are starting to kind of butt up against your new you?
Who's to say I need balance? I mean, I think we need, like, maybe the good stuff's in the pain of it, right? You can't grow without some discomfort. And it's like, I'm not saying it's easy. I mean, you know, I get nasty messages every day from people that don't believe what I have to say, or the guys being rude and tell me I'm ugly or bad, or I mean, just any number of weird rudeness because I'm becoming increasingly public. But then when I get down on those occasionally, which doesn't happen so often, but I'm like, oh yeah, but I also got like five basically love letters from women who tell me that they made really significant changes in their lives because of me in some way. And one of my most favorite stories that I always refer back to when I am uncomfortable. Just this past summer, I went to Europe. My kids were with their dad for a few weeks, and they went to visit family in Greece. And I was like, well, I'm going to go do something cool. I'm not going to stay at home. So I went to Copenhagen I was there for 3 weeks, and I just worked mainly, but I had such a fabulous time and met so many amazing, amazing women. I just sort of like talked about network. I just kind of like threw out to anybody that I met, like even acquaintances. I'm like, do you know anybody in Copenhagen, Denmark? I'm going, and I got introductions and people invited me to their homes. They cooked for me and took me out, and I have night friends for life now. And I also had like a wonderful affair with a man who's coming now for the second time in a couple weeks to see me. So that was very exciting. But anyway, so I wrote something about, you know, on my blog, a couple posts about my experience in Denmark, and that was it. And then I got this wonderful message from this woman, and she says, yeah, I am a new single mom. Her daughter was very young, like I want to say 1 or 2 years old. She was a primary custodian, like the main parent. And the mom was faced with a professional opportunity that would have taken her to Europe for, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks. And everybody in her like close circle or family and her close friends were like, oh, you can't do that. Your daughter's going to be traumatized. You absolutely can't leave her for that long. And the mom was like really at a crossroads because it was a crossroads in her career. She'd take this opportunity and she could just excel doing something she really wanted to do, or she could listen to, you know, her mommy guilt, which is very real, very stifling, all this social pressure that people were telling her she was a bad mom and they were judging her if she took this opportunity. And she said, you know what? I was at a crossroads and I saw how you went and you enjoyed yourself and didn't feel guilty about it. And I took that opportunity too. And thank you. And I was like, oh man, I'm getting shivers just thinking about it. Cause it's like, that is why you tell the truth.
Exactly.
That is why you live an awesome fucking life, so that it frees other women to live awesome fucking lives too.
I love
and,
that.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's it. Like I'm done.
Well, see, now you brought up something that's really very real, again, is the mommy guilt, which it infiltrates and it finds its way into every nook and cranny. It's almost like you can be a sponge, and it's like, you mean there's still more of this I can squeeze out of myself? Because it crops up. You know, here it is, I'm feeling guilty about this or about that. And this is, again, we were talking about what resonates and what feels good with you, that, you know, I mean, the guilt comes from a place that really isn't healthy, but it's also been a conditioning thing. And there's aspects around it that, you know, you've given some weight to, that's why it's showing up. So specifically to money, there are so many ways to feel guilty about money, especially as a single mother. So what tips do you have? Do you have any tips on how to actually address that or actually identify it as the mommy guilt, you know, when you're thinking, oh, I know I'm being responsible, but you're making these responsible, quote unquote, choices that maybe aren't, you know, like the example you were giving, this gal may not have gone to Europe to actually get this career push or jump because of the guilt that was there or surrounding her daughter and what other people were trying to define for her as what she should be doing. So could you speak to that for us?
Well, I don't patently dismiss guilt. I mean, some people should be having more guilt, especially if you want to talk about single moms and money. I mean, I see, like, there's this whole culture of, like, self-care. Everyone wants to talk about self-care. Well, you know what? It's not self-care to buy yourself a Tory Burch bag if you're in debt and you're not saving. I mean, you should have guilt. I'm not going to absolve you of that guilt. I mean, a bazillion other ways that people are not being responsible moms or responsible. And, you know, so let's just not, like, dismiss guilt as useless or wasteful. But when it comes to guilt and money, I mean, that said, it's a fine line, right? I really do believe in that, what is it, the airplane oxygen theory, that you have to take care of yourself first before you can take care of others. And it's tricky, you know, like I've created a pretty awesome lifestyle for myself where I work from home. I'm in my home office right now. And the school bus drops the kids off two blocks from my house. We have a lot of time together. I have a lot of flexibility. But it's also, there's times when I'm like, oh yeah, like I suppose I'm supposed to be hanging out with you at the playground, but that's really boring. And I could be at home making us some nice money so that you guys can have karate lessons. You know, I mean, so it's always like, what's the bigger picture? Where, you know, or I have this chunk of extra money this month, and I could, like, invest in, let's say, a new wardrobe for me because that's going to make me feel more confident when I go on business meetings, and that's investing in business that's ostensibly good for the whole family. Or I could spend that chunk of money on us having a family vacation. I mean, these are very real decisions that I struggle with myself, and I know other women do too. So, you know, one, it's okay to invest. But make sure that it really is an investment, because we can make excuses for really bad behavior by saying it's an investment all the time.
Right.
Well, when we come back, we're going to take a short break right now. When we come back, we can actually expand upon this a little bit more. And we will hear from our sponsors right now. This is Divorcee Cafe on Divine Wisdom Media.
Are you struggling to lose weight? Are you in pain? Need more energy? Want to feel and look better? Planet Beach is your solution. With their unique automated spa experience, you will see results after your first visit. Call Planet Beach in Centerville at 801-298-0772 or in Clinton at 801-658-9009 to schedule your free tour today.
From the darkness deep inside.
Welcome back to Divorcee Cafe on Divine Wisdom Media. This is Alif.
And I'm Asia.
And we are having such a lovely visit with Miss Emma Johnson from Wealthy Single Mama. And she was talking about self-care and utilizing, you know, your resources for yourself. And not to feel so guilty about that, you know, as far as being a mom. And I think so many times moms kind of balance and go, you know, I really could get my hair done, but, you know, then that money should really go here. But it really makes me feel better if I have mm-hmm. my hair done. So there's that mommy guilt of where to allocate the money because it should it should, quote unquote, go to the kids.
Right.
When in all essence, you know, we as moms are not caring for ourselves as much.
Well, I think this is where some education comes in. You know, being able to take a moment, take a pause and say, hey, you know, these are my options. These are my resources. And maybe I don't know of other resources that are available to me. Maybe there's something out there that I don't see. And, you know, addressing what are my motives behind making certain choices and where am I coming from as these choices are coming up in front of me. And, you know, issues and dramas and pains. And, you know, I really appreciated the fact that, you know, there is something to be really honored and gained through the pain of this, you know, of anything that's going on through life. But, you know, that can be a motivator, you know, it's anger, pain, those kinds of emotions. Those aren't indicators of something is wrong and I need to be, you know, whistling, you know, while I walk through this whole thing. There's something really just, again, taking a moment, checking in and getting very honest with yourself about what is it that's going on here? How do I feel about this?
And also, it shows a positive example to your kids. Like, you know what? Mama needs a break right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mama needs to do some work right now. And, you know, like people say, well, you know, you're a single mom and how do you get your work done when you have Mina 99% of the time? I go, Mina and I have an agreement. I said, she has to take care of herself and get her breakfast going, you know, because mama needs to have her cup of coffee and have some time to quiet and read while she's getting up in the morning. Or she needs to do these emails after this time. And this is mommy time. And then we're going to play, you know, and we actually make a plan in the beginning of the day, and we sit down, okay, how are we going to structure our day today? Because this is what I need to get done, okay? And I know that we need to have some mommy and daughter time. What do you need from me today? And that we can fit this in so that I can get my work done, and you can honor that, and then I can honor what you need. And she gets it. She understands, okay, you really need a time to do this, this, and the other thing. And even just this morning, she looked at my calendar. It was open on the table, and she's like, wow, mommy, you had a really busy week this week. I go, yeah. And she's like, I really should go read a book, huh? I go, yeah, maybe. She's like, because you really probably need to sit down and have your coffee. I'm like, yeah, I probably do need to take some time, you know? But it's an important example for our kids to know that self-care is important, because how are they going to learn?
But wait a minute. Yeah. Why is working and making a living self-care?
Well,
it's
working.
Not. If my grandmother were listening to this conversation, she'd be like throwing up in her mouth. Like the idea that we have to explain to our children that they're not the center of the universe is like this brand new parenting phenomenon that is already getting tons of backlash.
I know.
You are getting backlash from this? Seriously. So you have people that are really not appreciating what it is that you're coming out with by...
No, I'm saying the whole making our kids the center of the universe, that women should be like abandoning their entire lives to stay-at-home parents,
crap.
That we have to make excuses, like make our children understand that we can't be playing with them all day long. Like there's just so much backlash. Like there was a great little column in Motherload the other day about this mom was like, yeah, I'll go to your sports games, but not all of them.
you shouldn't be expected to.
And that notion that you feel like you have to, you call doing emails to make a living, self-care, and having to explain to the kids. Like, my grandmother was a farm wife. She busted her hump on the farm with her husband, and then they maybe had family time in the evening, but no one had to explain to the kids, because if they didn't do that, the family would starve.
That's right. And everybody was really well aware of that. I mean, that's where you just illustrated what my grandparents' life was like, too. You know, they... dairy and there's milking cows and that you know, animals and dairy, that kind of things, you know, it that shows up as a constant thing. So, you know, it can be reframed now as well. I mean, we might not be out, you know, weeding a garden or milking cows perhaps, but there a way of life is a way of life, and what it is you're choosing to do, you know, is going to require your time. So I agree with you. You know, there the examples and the observations that are there for kids to watch are really educational, you know, mm-hmm. and I think having open discussions about how that works.
And they're not the center of our universe. You know, life does go on, you know, and...
I would argue that it's beyond educational. I feel like we're doing our children a disservice if we let them run the show. They feel insecure. They do not grow up to be productive adults, as we're seeing with this whole new crop of millennials. I mean, this is like a blip in the parenting history that has been proven a big failure.
Well, have you heard the Harvard – is it the Harvard professor that has a term for the students that are coming in? They're calling them teacup children because people have been helicopter parents and overparenting for the last 10, 15 years and pretty much making sure all their homework is done and, you know, making the children the center of them, their lives, and making sure they're okay and they're not failing and doing everything for them, that when they actually get to college, they can't do anything. So this right. Harvard professor started calling them teacup children because they would break if any sort of bad news or failure or any sort of less than perfect showed up. And that's so it's such a disservice because then they can't think for themselves and they can't problem solve. And then they're going to be, you know, just.
So basically what, well, again, that it's, I would agree with you. There's a, I like how you said that, the blip in parenting. And, you know, we could discuss where it came from or why it's here. The point is it's there. So, you know, moving forward and where we are with this and recognizing that that is an issue and that that doesn't need to be. You know, we don't need to cater in that way, but we do need to actually look at, you know, specifics on what's showing up for us. What I'd like to do is actually kind of ask if, Emma, do you, when people, women come to you, you know, they're freshly divorced or they've finally got a little bit of equilibrium and they're like, all right, here I am, I'm open, I'm looking, I'm learning, and finances are number one on my list here. What do you happen to have, like a blueprint or a checklist or something that that you encourage them to look at themselves, or just, you know, some you know, top three tips that you know that each woman, each single mommy that is divorced is actually going to be looking at when they're in this new phase of their life?
Well, I have, if you go to my website, wealthysinglemommy.com, right at the top, you can get my free little ebook. It's 15 tips for thriving as a single mom. And, you know, some of the information there, it's like, you know, go ahead and grieve. Like, I think you were alluding to that a little bit about, you know, it is a loss. Divorce, I don't care if it's the best thing ever. If you have the clarity to see that, I don't care if he started a new thing. It doesn't matter what the situations are. It is a loss. I mean, you had a plan A, and that looked probably like most of our plan A, which was to marry a really nice dude, have a great two-parent family, you know, with the real estate and the whole thing. That didn't happen. That dream is over, and it died, and that is really freaking sad. Even if your plan B is going to be way awesome, and I'm here to tell you that it can be, it is sad, and you should own that sadness. I mean, no one tells you when your, you know, a loved one dies, oh, you know, it's for the best. Get over it. You know, go back to work tomorrow. Everything's fine now. It doesn't work like that. This is grief, and honor that grief. And also just knowing that your children are going to be okay. Because as you said, life is hard and it is sad, and it's going to be really hard that your kids are going through divorce. But you know what? If it's not divorce, something else bad is going to happen. This just happens to be one of the bazillion bad things that are going to happen in their lives. And you can be resilient. You can teach them to be resilient. You can, and the best way to do that is to go on and live an awesome life. You know, don't let all of those stereotypes hold you down. All that crap that your ex-husband told you about how you weren't going to make it, and you were never going to find anybody as good as him, how you could never make it on your own financially. That's his stuff. That has nothing to do with you. That's his own problems about his mom and all kinds of, whatever. That's nothing to do with you. This is your life. This is a great opportunity to go and just kill it. And that is the best thing for everybody involved, everybody, including it trickles down. The women in your job, they will see you thriving. Your neighbors. I mean, this is like you living your awesome life is your greatest gift to the world.
I really, really love that you said that. I mean, honestly, to actually be thriving that way not only contributes to you, but does, like you just illustrated, contributes to society. I mean, that example and that faith in yourself, or just, you know, living that way passionately. And what you described is passionately living, you know, where you're just really stepping into, you know what, awesome life. I am in an awesome life. Yes, it's been hard. Yes, I didn't plan that. Right. And you're going to have bad days and you're going to have good days. And that's just, I mean, that's no different than when it was when you were married.
Yeah, I mean, you just have more good days than bad days now.
Well, it turns out to be what it is. And so I love that. And, you know, the thing that sounds to me as I'm listening to you, Emma, and I'm wondering, actually not wondering, it seems to me that one of the best things that any of us can do as we're in this space now is to ask ourselves some really good questions. And as we answer those questions, then it's going to give us more of an outline or a roadmap on how we want to repave or remark or just go ahead and forge ahead in something new on where we're headed in our lives. But to ask those questions and really not just kind of flounder and have something just kind of keep hitting us here and there, although it might feel that way, but to, you know, ask some really good questions of ourselves. We ask ourselves really good questions, then that's going to give us more of a roadmap on where it is that we can, where we can go and how we can create some direction for ourselves just by answering them honestly.
But what would those questions be, would you suggest?
Well, you know, I was thinking early on you were talking about the finances. You know, what are my finances? What are my goals? Is $38,000 enough for me in my life? Is $400,000 enough? What do I believe I can actually make? How do I want to live my life? You know, and really get, be honest about those things and then see where you are on your belief scale. Like if $38,000 is enough for you, and then you can honestly answer that as, yeah, that's okay. But where did that come from? Is that because, like in your example, you know, because dad said so, or because that's what society says, or that's how the office staff is? Who am I surrounding myself with? Who's my network? You know, and am I okay with that network? So I'm referring to a lot of the things that you have already identified as things and tips that that we can do post divorce as we're recreating ourselves in a financial way, in a holistic way,
in a personal way, in a
mommy way. You know, there are these questions that we need to actually reform for ourselves and answer honestly, and then take a measure of where we fall with that. You know, maybe somebody doesn't believe they can make $400,000 a year, but why? You know, what does that
right,
mean?
Why? And I think, asking yourself questions, but, you know, doing. I believe in just doing stuff. Like, somebody invites you to a party or a networking event or a trip or wants to set you up on a date with somebody that doesn't sound so – just say yes. Like, there was a whole project about that. Just say yes. Just say yes. Yes, yes, yes,
You'll
yes,
figure
yes.
it out later.
Because even if the date is a disaster, you're still going to have learned. You still have stretch. You have a good, funny story. There's always something to be saying yes to.
I love that. That's great. That's great. Saying yes, taking that leap, like what Elif was talking about, you know, that's a yes.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
a yes,
I know,
action.
That, you know, just even this last week, someone's like, okay, if someone presented you X, Y, and Z situation, are you going to be able to do it? I'm like, yes. They're like, how? I'm like, I don't know. I'll figure it out, you know, and you sit with it and you pull in your feelers and you go, okay, I can do this and this is how I can do it. And you know what? If it worked, great. If not, oh, well, I tried.
But the learning is such the important thing. Because
it's trying.
That
because,
is now...
you know, you go out there, you try something, it works, you know, but you always learn something.
Yeah.
And not being afraid to fail. Because I don't think failure is, like, so horrible.
No,
it's
you
a
have
lesson.
A new tool in your tool belt, or else you learned a new way to use what you already had.
Or you learned what you didn't want to know.
So
all right,
true.
Are we wrapping up? We are. So we are going to say goodbye to our lovely Emma.
And thank you
guys
so much
for having me.
Thanks
it was wonderful to have you on today. Thank you for your time.
And we will chat soon, hopefully.
So take you care. Can go ahead and find her on wealthysinglemommy.com. She's also on Facebook. And you can also find us, Divorcee Cafe, on Facebook and divorceecafeconversations.com.
And our next Divorcee Cafe
Open house is coming up February 3rd. That's right.
645 East, 700 South in Salt Lake City.
It'll be from
9 o'clock in the morning till 7 p.m.
And in the evening, we're wanting to actually create conversation. Like, the whole time is there for conversation. But if there's a group that wants to gather and talk about some specifics, I've been posting some questions on the Divorcee Cafe Facebook page, and if any of those questions, join the conversation. If anything reaches out to you, you feel compelled to answer any of those questions, then we can certainly create more of a personal discussion about those questions. Right now, it's about having difficult conversations, checking in with yourself, those kinds of things. And we can spend an evening, a month, really exploring some of those things, because, you know, I mean, it does take you a minute, you know, if you want to contemplate what it is that, how you feel about certain things, how you feel about those questions, and we can kind of expand from there.
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen, and we'll talk to you next month.